We do bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. For he is worthy to be praised. And whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a joy it is to be in God's house, to bless his holy name. To our pulpit conductor and this most eminent pastor, Pastor Reverend T. Jefferson Rogers. Come on, praise God for this great pastor. It gives me joy to know him and to have him as my friend. I've known him for a long time, from Mississippi. Distinguished pastor, educator, but towering above all his golden attributes, he's a preacher extraordinary of the gospel. A brother beloved. Thank you, Pastor Rogers, for inviting us to come to the New Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church. Bless the name of the Lord. Your kindness will never be forgotten. I want to thank God for these good friends of mine. Classmate Reverend William Walker. Pastor Emeritus, God bless you. Been friends from the Birmingham Baptist Sonia Bible College, along with Dr. Edward Rogers. What a joy it is for him to come today, take time to come, and the other preachers of the gospel of Jesus the Christ. And to the New Bethlehem Baptist Church family. It's been so joyous, all this glorious singing. Heaven rejoices today. I say heaven rejoices today. For what is transpiring here on this 121st year of the New Bethlehem Church. I want to thank God for, I see some people from Elizabeth out there. Will y'all just stand? I see my wife is here, stand, and the Turners back there, and Dr. Morrell, who is our Christian Aid Director, Sister Ferguson, who works with Elizabeth Project Care. Thank y'all for coming to be with us today. Y'all have warmed my heart for you all being here. Now we have come to praise the Lord. And what you're already doing, you are praising Almighty God. I just come to say nothing new, but just reiterate some of the things that Dr. Rogers has already been saying to you. Because we come to magnify the name of Jesus. It's good to be alive. And know that you're alive. For there are those who woke up this morning and don't know that they're in the world. But God is good. And because of his goodness, we're here today. So I solicit your prayers. Pray with us and pray for us. I want to invite your attention to Acts chapter 7. I want to read some selected verses. Acts chapter 7. Begin reading at verse 44. Acts chapter 7, verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Verse 47. But Solomon builds him an house. Howbeit the Most High God dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as says the prophets, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? And Matthew 16:18 says, but thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to talk about God's house. God's house. In the Old Testament, God had a house for his people. But in the New Testament, the people are the house of God. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. But in the New Testament, ye are the temple of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 chapter. God always wants to dwell among his people. In fact, in the New Testament, and now God wants to be in his people. And I'm delighted he can be in each one of us all at the same time. In the Old Testament, God said to Moses, back in Exodus, the 25th chapter, he said to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly. Whatever you do for God, you ought to do it willingly.
That's right.
I often say, don't beg anybody to do anything for God.
Amen.
For God is not in a tight. God can let the rocks cry out. God can let the winged musician of the air make a free concert in the trees. God can let the sun shout every morning and praise his holy name. But I'm glad that God delights in our praises. He delights in us shouting hallelujah to him. So he said, bring me an offering, give who gives it willingly. And do it from the heart. You shall take my offering. And then God told Moses, what to tell them to bring. God wants the best. He says gold, silver, brass, paper, scarlet, linen. And the list goes on. And God says to Moses, the reason why would you do that? I want them to make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof. Even so shall ye make it. Now God has everything.
That's right.
God asked them to just bring me an offering. Willingly from the heart.
That's right.
And when I read the record, God owns everything.
That's right.
And owes us
That's right.
nothing.
That's
We own nothing. And owe God everything. When I read the record, He owns the deeds to the universe. Psalms 24:1 said, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." Haggai 2:8 said, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine." Psalm 50 said, "The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to Him." Got tired of counting the cattle and just start counting the hills. Because God has so much. And then you are not your own. He said, "You've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit." When you fast forward to that 36th chapter of Exodus, they didn't just bring God one offering, but they loved the Lord so much until they brought Him free will offerings every day. So much so until when Moses was building the tabernacle, the worker said to Moses, "Refrain the people from giving, because we have more than enough." Now I know, not here, but I know I would love to have a congregation like that to tell them, "Stop being giving." Y'all got them here. Yeah, y'all got them here. But I'd like to have a congregation that says, "Stop giving, because I have more than enough." Let me tell you, God will give you more than enough. If you give back to God, God will give back to you. Thank God. God is, He got some paradoxes. The best way to be exalted is to be humble. The best way to go up is to come down. The best way to get is to give. These people gave, and I know some people say, "Well, I'm on a fixed income." Well, I tell you, these people didn't have an income. These were unemployed people. These were people who were sojourning through the wilderness. But God says, "I want to dwell among them. I want a place where I can meet with them." And even though they were unemployed, God had blessed them with something. Because you know, when they left Egypt, that night I heard Dr. Rogers say, they were wealthy and healthy. There was not a fever one among them. And they realized the goodness of the Lord. When you realize the goodness of the Lord, you have no problem giving God everything you have. I want to tell you, this is the day that the Lord has made. I cannot make a day, and you cannot either. But I tell you one thing we ought to do. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Well, the tabernacle had two compartments. The first compartment was the holy place. In the holy place, it had the table of showbread, where the priest would put 12 loaves of bread on the table, representing God providing for them. Let me tell you, God provides for us. I know you go to Publix, Winn-Dixie, Piggly Wiggly, and all those places. But if God shuts up heaven, if God did not give the latter rain and the former rain, those grocery stores would have to close up. I just want to tell you, it's God who is providing for us. And after the table showbread, they had the golden lampstand representing that Jesus is the light of the world. They would bring olive oil and keep the light burning. The church, Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. Ye are a city. That city is on a hill that cannot be hidden. For 121 years, New Bethlehem, you have been a light to a dark world. You have been a city sitting on a hill, pointing men and women, boys and girls, to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Not only did they have the table showbread, the golden lampstand, but they had the altar of incense, where the priest would come in, take a live coal, put it into the incense. After people stood out praying, representing their prayers going up to God, they were admonished to keep the altar warm. Over in Leviticus 6:13, it said the fire should always be burning on the altar. If anything is in God's house, some fire ought to be in God's house. If anything in God's house, there ought to be a warm fellowship in God's house. Every time I come to church, I come to start a fire. I like what you all are doing. You all are praising God. But I've been in some churches, you got to have an overcoat to sit beside some people in the summertime, because they are so cold and so indifferent. But when you think about what God has done for you, when you think about where He brought you from, when you think about how He saved you when you could not save yourself, something on the inside ought to move on the outside and bring about a change in your life. Well, it had two compartments, and there was a veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, it was the Ark of the Covenant. It had the mercy seat overlaid with gold. It had Aaron's rod. Yeah, it had the Ten Commandments. It had cherubim on either end looking down. And once a year, the high priest would go behind the veil in order to make atonement for the sin of the nation. He had some blood for his sins and for the sins of the nation. And he would sprinkle that blood over the mercy seat, sprinkle that blood over the law. So when God looks at the law, He would not see man breaking the law. He would see the blood. And I'm glad this morning I'm hiding behind the blood of Jesus. I'm here right now because of the blood of Jesus. And you know, God is so holy that high priest could only go back there once a year. And they would put some ropes on him and put some bells on the rope. So if he would die while he was back there, They would just pull him out of there. And nobody could go back there until the next year came. But I'm so glad that Moses built the tabernacle. But Solomon built the temple. But Jesus doesn't live in buildings made with hands. When Peter made that great confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And Jesus made a great declaration, "Upon this rock I build my church." And I think God will put a pin in that. It's God's church. Jesus built the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't say hell wouldn't come up against it, but hell will not prevail against it. Well, the tabernacle got lost. The temple got destroyed. But I want to tell you, Jesus' church will never be destroyed. Because Jesus paid for the church with his own precious blood. Anybody here knows he paid for the church with his own precious blood. Don't you see him, hallelujah, one Friday with an old rugged cross up on his shoulder, going up to Golgotha Hill? He had 5 different trials and 4 different courtrooms. And Friday morning, took the cross on his shoulder, went marching up to Calvary Hill. When they got him there, they nailed his hands, they nailed his feet. Satan shouted, "We got him now." Demons said, "We got him now." Pharisees got pleased, "We got him now." But they forgot about his word. And I said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. They lifted him high. At 9 o'clock that morning, he hung right there, 3 hours in the light. But at 12 noon, nature slipped a cord. Earth began to reel and rock. Got dark all over the world. Tombstones fell over. Cemetery looked like dry ground. He hung right there until somebody said, "Come down from that cross and we will believe on you." But I'm so glad he would not come down. I'm so glad he stayed on that cross. I'm so glad he stayed right there. Yes, he did. Yeah, when the centurion saw all of that, that centurion said, spoke his breath and said, "I think we made a mistake here." Truly, this is the Son of God. He hung right there. He made his will. He said to the Father, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." He willed mother unto John, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." But he willed his joy to you and I. And I can tell you this morning, I got that joy. Won't he give you joy? Oh, joy. Anybody got that joy? Oh, joy. Won't he give you? Oh, joy. Won't he give you joy? Do you know he'll give you joy? Yeah. He hung right there till he gave me joy. He gave me peace. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he, 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 won't
I said, do you know he died? Anybody here knows he died? He didn't faint, he died. Yeah, they took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb. Looked like a hidden set. I just need it for the weekend. They put him in that tomb Friday, but early, early, early Sunday morning. Do you know he got up? Anybody here knows it? You see me now, but you don't know. You don't know. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. If he done anything for you, somebody help me praise him. If you know he's alive, somebody help me praise him. If you know he brought you down through the years, somebody help me praise him. Yeah. Yeah. Ah. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Has he been good to you? Did he bring you down through the years? Did he save your soul? Did he heal your body down through the years? The Lord. Oh, yeah.
Everyone to your feet, if you will. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on. If you're here and you're not saved, preaching merits an invitation. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. If you can believe the simple message that has been preached in this place today about Christ, his coming, his service, his sacrificial death, his victorious resurrection. If you can believe it in your heart and confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. For For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Come today if you're here and you're not saved and you need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. Come. Secondly, if you're here and you're backslidden, there's space in your fellowship. You're still a child of God, but there's coldness. There's inconsistency in you and how you respond to the Savior of your soul, the Creator of your life. Come. You can be restored. The altar of the Lord is open. Thirdly, if you're here and the Lord has laid this church on your heart as a faith family. Listen, being without a church is being like a baby without parents. You need the body of Christ. He has called us out and called us together. And He has given us purpose and power to do that purpose, which is to go ye therefore in all the land, teaching and preaching and baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Here, if you're here and you're not saved, come, give the Lord your life. Secondly, if you're here and you're backslidden, come. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home, come. You can come by letter. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. The doors. Come on, let me hear you now as the invitation is extended.
Cause He
come on, the doors. The doors. Put your hands together and bless God for the message. And bless God for the messenger.
Wonderful time we had in the Lord today, amen. Thanks be to God for 121 years, amen. God is truly good to this church. We first want to acknowledge our pastor, Pastor T. Jefferson Rogers Jr., the pastor, Dr. Swift, to Pastor Emeritus Walker, to Pastor Edward E. Rogers, to other ministers of the gospel, to our anniversary committee, to this church family, We want to thank everyone who worked so hard and so diligent to bring this program to fruition. We was selected, and we didn't have a whole lot of time, and we all lead busy lives, but everybody worked hard in order to accomplish what we need to accomplish. And we want to thank everyone who was involved in bringing this program to where it is today. We want to give a special thanks to Sister Dole, Sister Tanja McKelvey. We want to give one to Sister Renee Goodwin and to our little ones, Sister Kelsey and Kenley Marshall. And we want to give one to Sister Clayton. Those, they know what they've done, and we thank God for those, and God using them to help us with this program. You know, and if we missed anybody, you know, don't charge it to my heart, charge it to my head. So I want y'all to understand that we thank you, and we want to understand that we really appreciate everything that everyone done for us. We want to ask that our anniversary committee members stand. We have one in the choir, and we have two in the back there who was helping out. And we want to thank you for working diligent with us. We know that we selected y'all. We didn't have a whole lot of time ourselves. You know, some of it was our fault because we was asked for this three times and we turned it down. But because of the diligence of Sister McKelvin, we end up being involved in this program. But we thank God. It has been truly a blessing to us. We learned a lot. And we're glad that we was able to do this. And we're glad that you guys helped us with this program as well. Amen. Anything you have to say, honey boy? You talk about the bad? Okay. All right.
Good morning, New Bethlehem. Good afternoon, New Bethlehem. He said it all. Thank him so much. And I'd like to thank my husband because I was kind of hard with him while we was doing this, but he was so helpful towards me, and I want to thank him for helping me a lot. Because sometimes we can get frustrated. Thank you so much. But the only thing I want to say, I thank God for this occasion. It was very, very exciting. And I really enjoyed doing it because when you're doing something for the Lord, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I thank God for working with me. And I thank God for working with both of us in the household because we had some time. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And I want to say we got bags. The committee got together, and we want to give you all some bags. So as you enter, you know, exit out the door, they have bags that they're going to pass out. So we want to give you all some bags, and we have snacks in the bags, goodies, things that you can enjoy. So we just want to thank you all for coming, worshiping with us. Thank you for this absolutely awesome day. Thank you for Pastor Swift, who brought a great message about God's house. And I want to say one thing. I came this morning. Him and his son-in-law talked on the same thing out of Acts. And he brought a good message this morning at 8 o'clock. And I just want to thank both of y'all for a great message. Mm-hmm. And just thank you all, New Bethlehem, for this opportunity. Yeah.
Circle again to the Church Anniversary Committee. We ask that you stand once again. I can say thank you for your diligence and duty. Thank you. Thank you so much for what you have laid out for us to do today. And certainly, it is celebratory. Commendable of what God has done and what he is doing and what he will continue to do in the life of New Bethlehem Baptist Church. I want to thank God for the choir that have sang so melodiously. Come on. And certainly to Dr. C. Michael Washington, who preached from his heart. And to Dr. Vernon Swift, who preached in this place today. Come on, give it up for the preachers. I think what I'll do next Sunday is play this sermon again, and I'll just stand up here and mouth. Amen. He preached in this place, and he preached enough for the world to be saved. Amen. Thank all of you for your commitment, your continuance. Thank you for your compassion for lost souls to reach out to share word with those who are near and dear to you. Thank you for your prayers for our church. And for your constant giving, your support. God is bringing us through a pandemic. This time is a time of testing. For the word says all of our works will be tried by fire. Our faith will be tried by fire. That fire can be tribulations. Persecution, hardship, and hardness. Well, you're going to have to live what you say. That you can no longer say, for God I live, and for God I die. Now is the time for you to showcase it and put it all on the line for God. And he'll never let you out. Give him. He says, if you give your life by forsaking all, he will give you 100-fold in this life and bless you in the life to come. So 121 years, we celebrate God. We celebrate his faithfulness. We celebrate his protection, his provision, his power, his presence. With New Bethlehem Baptist Church. Come on, if you will, again. Bless God, holy name. Bless his holy name. Anything else, sir? All hearts and minds clear, let us stand. Father, we thank you for what our ears have heard, eyes have seen, hearts have received today. Thank you, Lord, for working on us. You do a work from the inside out. Thank you, Lord, that we're made better than the way we were before we came. And Lord, now that you have fixed us, you are sending us with your message into the hedges and highways to share your word with lost souls. Where you have called us to be salt of the earth and light of the world. We cannot be hid. And Lord, as you send us hither and thither, we pray that your grace, mercy, the communion of the Holy Spirit will rest with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say, Amen.